Tuesday, April 7th. The morning was taken up with desk work, with Helen going out to the Elms to see the Goodwill truck, picked up all the right things, and so did Donald MacArthur and others who were coming by. For some of the stuff I have lived with and loved at the Elms. At 3 o'clock, I had a picture with Women's National Democratic Club, that is, Mrs. Kaiserling, the president of it, Kay Halley, and Mrs. Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., to help bring attention to the benefit they're having, which it scarcely needs at all, since tickets are at a great premium, and the Lipizzaner horses, those legendary performers without peer, need no help from me. But at any rate, since I'm sponsoring it, they had asked me to have my picture taken with the officials, and Mrs. Schlesinger had painted a charming watercolor of one of the handsome horses doing his ballet steps, which I'll probably hang in my little combination office and dressing room. I felt a little discomforted because I hadn't done my homework satisfactorily on this, not being able to answer Phil Potter's question as to whether I was actually going to the performance or not. It is the night after our state dinner for King Hussein, and I don't know whether there is any return function or not. So I spent the next 2 hours vigorously doing my homework for the 5 o'clock reception for the North Carolina group, which is the presentation to the White House Library of the American drawings of John White. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, in collaboration with the British Museum, and with the help of artists and craftsmen from various other museums, had compiled two marvelous books of the drawings of John White to present to the library here at the White House. I walked into the East Room at 5 o'clock and took my place beside the Ambassador of Great Britain and Lady Harlech and Dean Holman of the University of North Carolina, who is chairman of the Board of Governors of the University of North Carolina Press. Dean Holman arose in front of the TV floodlights and phalanx of photographers, told the 150-odd guests a bit of the story of Sir Walter Raleigh's colonizing expedition to Roanoke Island, and how John White had accompanied them and made official sketches of Indians, fish, reptiles, birds, and plants. Later, he had returned to be governor of the lost colony, and he was the grandfather of Virginia Dare, the first child born of English parents in the New World. So he is a part of the legend of American history and one of the ties that binds us both through history and art to the culture of Great Britain. His drawings now repose in the British Museum, but this magnificent reproduction of them has been prepared, one set to be presented here to the White House, and one to be given to Queen Elizabeth. Then I got up and made a small thank you for receiving these most treasured pages for the White House Library, and made the inevitable comment that isn't it remarkable that even at that early date, 379 years ago, an official photographer was dispatched with the expedition, very forethoughted of Queen Elizabeth and those who dared to explore these wild and unknown lands. Then I introduced Sir Frank Francis of the British Museum, who told of the part the museum had played in preparing the books. They were spread out in front of the rostrum, open at an early map of Sir Walter Raleigh's colony, and I had looked earlier at the marvelous drawing of loggerhead turtles, Indian conjurer, Indian spearing fish from a boat, and pelicans, and hoped that the guests would stop to enjoy the exquisite workmanship before they followed me into the blue room, where I greeted all the guests. And really, it was a wonderful assemblage of North Carolinians. Most of the delegation was there, Congressman and Mrs. Bonner, the Broyhills. I was flattered to have both Senator and Mrs. Irvin, Congressman Fountain, the Jonases, I think the Lennons, and my old friend Basil Whitener, Secretary of the Interior, and Mrs. Udall were there, because Roanoke Island falls under his supervision as one of the national parks. And also present was George Hartzog, the new director of the National Park Service. I was real proud that Martha Hodges, the wife of the Secretary of Commerce, was there. and Dr. Ellen Winston of HEW, and beautiful Margaret Rose Sanford, wife of the governor, Terry Sanford of North Carolina. Gladys Tillett of the UN, who had plans for us for next September in North Carolina, and Jim Webb and Mrs. Webb, with whom I had just shared a great adventure in Alabama when I went to Huntsville, not long ago at all. Perhaps most flattered of all I was to see Mrs. O. Max Gardner, that grande dame who had come up from North Carolina especially for this, and Mrs. Frank Graham, wife of the former president of the University of North Carolina, and beautiful Mrs. Friday, the wife of the present president of the University of North Carolina. To me, it was a very successful meeting, partly because I liked North Carolina folks, partly because I had really worked at my homework, which makes all the difference. Linda and Warren Lynn came down and made their happy little contributions all around. And the single most delightful personal note for me was having Emily Crow Seldon and her husband, Dr. Sam Seldon of UCLA Drama Department, and formerly of the University of North Carolina, who had come all the way for this, but also partly because they were going on to visit Emily's mother in Baltimore. I left word for them to come upstairs and slipped away at a fairly early hour. They came up and we had an hour of discussion about drama with a capital D, After the Fall, The Morals of Youth, Tennessee Williams, and all of the family and friends that we have shared since I first knew Emily at St. Mary's in Dallas when I was 15. All in all, I'd say I'd settle for my performance today, both for my intake and my give out. But there is in the background of the day the rankling unpleasantness of Time, Newsweek, the Herald Tribune, and others discussing Lyndon's fast driving at the ranch over the Easter weekend. The president charged on, his paper cup of pearl beer with an easy sipping distance. The other motorist veered off the paved surface to safety on the road shoulder, groaned a passenger in the president's car when the ride was over. "That's the closest John McCormick has come to the White House yet." And also, apparently, to other newspaper people, the rankling presence of Hearst, pretty blonde Mary Ann Means, and two other newswomen. Unhappily, I suppose the moral is we cannot invite any newspaper people to be our guests informally in a relaxed fashion at the ranch. I just hope we can keep our equilibrium about the importance of this as compared to the tax bill, the civil rights bill, some possible progress on the poverty front, and just staying well and happy. It's so easy to think of things too late, but wouldn't it have been a nice occasion to invite North Carolina girls who are in school up here